There was a guy that came to the altar and laid some cigarettes down. Mm-hmm. Said the Lord told him to quit, and he wasn't smoking no more. So he got up, and about two or three days later, we had a funeral. We went to the funeral. Aaron come in there in the funeral. He said, Daddy. He said, I won't call his name. He said, I believe he's picked them cigarettes up. I said, I believe he picked them cigarettes back up off that altar. Said he's out there smoking. I said, well, son, he probably didn't pick them up, but he got his own cigarette.
Yeah, out of the mouth of babes. I think he picked them cigarettes back up. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Hey Now My Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Johnny.
Daryl.
And we have got some tales for you today. We got some confessions of some Baptist preachers. Mm. Man, just sit back and listen. You'll enjoy these and have some fun. We'll dip in some snuff and kids telling on us and getting pulled over, all kind of stuff. So,
who's going to lead off this thing is what I want to know.
So, Brother Johnny has two boys. Aaron and Andrew, and a daughter. The oldest daughter is Amanda. Amanda's the oldest child. But he was telling me the other day about Brother Aaron and Brother Andrew when they started dipping. Mm. So I want him to see if he would tell that one for us.
Well, it was when they wanted to dip. They was about 13, 14 years old, and that's all I heard was, Dad, I want to dip. Dad, I want to dip. And I told him I didn't want him to dip, you know. So I come in from work one day. I got to think about it coming home. I stopped by the store and bought a box of Brut and Snuff. And
this is the powder stuff.
Yeah, right? The powder snuff. Mm-hmm. And I brought it home and I called him in there and I said, boys, I tell y'all, I said, y'all been wanting to dip snuff? I said, I tell you what I'll do. I said, if you can take your snuff right here and get you a big heaping spoonful of it and put it in your mouth and swish it around and swallow it. Oh. I said, y'all can dip. Well, Andrew said, I don't know about that.
Me either.
and Aaron says, oh, that won't be no problem. I can do it. I can handle it. So
Aaron was confident.
Aaron was real confident. He thought he had that thing down, you know. So Andrew took the first one. He just put it in his mouth. As soon as he got in his mouth, he ran outside, went spitting, throwing up. And Aaron took it. He puts that big old dip in his mouth. He stands there, man, and he goes, he gagged. And when he gagged, he blowed that snuff out his nose. It made him so sick. And I told him, I said, well, y'all ain't going to dip then. I knew there wasn't no way. I don't even think anybody that dips snuff can actually. I mean, I wasn't advocating my kids to dip snuff. Right. But I was wanting them to show them that it just wasn't any good.
This ain't what they think it was.
Oh, right. What you did, no, you weren't advocating. That's a common cure.
Yeah, it was a common cure.
That's a common cure. Somebody told me that they did that with their kids with cigarettes. Said, if you can smoke this whole pack right here, one after another, you can keep on smoking. Well, obviously, they didn't make it far.
Make it too far. I thought I was going to try it. You know, when I was a kid, my grandmother babysat 100 kids. So there's always somebody at the house, cousins, kids, just around our age. And one of them brought a pack of Red Man. I said, well, I'm going to try that. I was like 11, 12 years old. And I got me a big old chew of Red Man. That lit me on fire. And I said, nope, that's not for me,
not
buddy.
For me.
It's a little different. It's a little different the way it looks when people's doing it than it is when you do it.
Yeah.
You know,
and yeah, especially
that's what
stuff.
They thought. They thought it was going to be all right. Aaron said, I got this. I can handle that.
How old was he?
He was about 13.
Okay.
But when he got gagged, it bloated out his nose. I wished I'd had a video back then of it, but it was so funny when he blew that snuff out.
I wish you had it right now. You know, include it.
That's what they say. When back in the day, they'd say that's how you know you got a level-headed woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Snuff runs out both sides
snuff
of your mouth.
Snuff runs out both sides of her mouth.
And I seen some as level-headed.
Yeah, real level-headed.
You know, you don't see that much anymore. But used to, most women dip, they didn't smoke.
My grandmother did.
When I was a kid, all my stuff. Aunts and aunts and things like that, they didn't smoke, they dipped.
To both sides.
So when I was a kid, my great uncle would always save me quarters. And whenever I'd go visit him, he'd give it to me in Brut and snuff can. It'd be full of quarters, and he'd give it to me.
That's pretty good. Well, like, along the same lines, now, Aaron and Andrew, one time, being a pastor and all, you had to deal with going to funerals.
Oh, yeah.
And if y'all, by the end of the show, you're going to realize Brother Johnny raised two good ones, three good ones, but the two boys were rounders.
Yeah,
buddy.
They were boys. And they were preacher's kids.
And they did something at the funeral that I to this day, when I hear it, I laugh. Man, I laugh.
You want me to tell
it? Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, you want me to tell it?
Well, we went to the funeral home up at Limley's, and we'd been there about 30, 40 minutes, and they come up and had a big old handful of money. And I said, boys, I said, where'd y'all get that money? They said, oh, Daddy, we went around and took up an offering. I said, an offering? Yeah, we went around and told everybody we needed to take up an offering. So they gave us money. I mean, they had a handful of money. And I said, y'all boys got to and carry that money back to everybody you got it from. Of course, they couldn't remember who gave money.
Didn't have a clue where it's coming from.
I don't know what them people thought. I don't know if they thought we was in need of money or what.
Great.
they was taking us up an offering. You know, they was going to take care of us. But that's all they knew. Coming up, we took up offerings when somebody needed money. And they felt like they needed some money, I guess, to buy some candy with.
So that's pretty good.
So they came up with that themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, they just concocted
just
that
up. Them boys could concoct some things now.
Well, I mean, they had a good teacher.
How much money you think they had?
Oh, they probably, at that time, and that's probably been, you know, they were just little boys then. They were about 8, 9 years old, and they're 37. You know, the oldest one's 35, and Avery's 34, and I think that's right. But anyway, that's been that long ago, and it was probably $25,
$30. just real quick.
Yeah. And they could have probably got more if I left them alone.
Hey, I'm sure they would have got some more.
hey, if you go hand it to me, all they got to do is ask. They just handed it out.
Sure did.
Opportunist. Are you in trouble? Well, we hope you're not. But just in case you are, we know a good lawyer. Whitney Island here in Hayden, Alabama has law services. Or maybe if you're not from Hayden, I'm sure she'd be happy to hear from you. So check her out at islandlaw.com. We appreciate Whitney and her sponsoring the show.
I'd like to just share one thing with them that I can remember. I helped Brother John in revival down there 2 or 3 times. But I remember one time the boys was little and the church sign out front down there at Welcome, it was like a flower bed. And it had like a little gable roof on it, and there was a big old wasp nest up there in that thing. And I remember they got Sister Adeline out there wanting to show her them flowers. She got there looking down, and they throw the rock, hit that thing right at the top of it. I remember that. And they were something, now, I'm telling you, growing up. But I remember they'd wrestle with Brother Johnny, and they'd get him on the ground. He'd like, boys, y'all get up now before I hurt you. He wasn't getting up. No. He always tried to say, I'm going to hurt you if you don't let me up. He wasn't getting up.
Wait a minute. We got to go back to the wasp nest for just a second. They knew.
Oh, yeah.
They knew it on purpose.
They done showed me where it was at. They said, Brother Darrell, come here a minute. I'm going to show you something. I looked up there, and it was probably big around as that clock up yonder.
Just guinea wasps, probably all over.
I don't know what it
was.
Oh, guinea wasps. And they got Sister Adeline over there. And back when she got over there looking at the flowers, I don't know which one threw the rock, but one of them threw the rock up in that thing.
And everybody
run.
Now, I wonder how they chose Sister
Adeline.
She was a lot of fun to be around.
Oh, okay.
She really was.
She was a cut up. Still is.
Now, she'd have probably done the same thing if she had thought of it first.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
So they knew who she was messing with.
That Brother Benny Wade's wife.
Yes.
Man, she's a good
one. She's
talking about a one that can play the piano now. Yes. She can play it.
But yeah, y'all was talking about the snuff and that kind of thing. My mind goes back. My grandmother on my mom's side, she dipped snuff and she always got the little bitty can. She bought it in the big jars, then she'd emptied it in the little bitty can, and then she'd wash the jars, and that's what we used for drinking. That's what you drunk out of.
Yeah.
And I remember then that she would give me the little can, and then my granddaddy, Fred Holt, he'd cut them half in two and drive a nail through it, make a Bob White whistle out of them. Y'all didn't know that?
No, I
still got one.
Do you really?
Like a Bob White. It sure will. You pull through that thing. It sounds just like a Bob White. You can call one up with it. You really can.
We might have to let you try that out. Yeah, sure. Show us how to do it.
But you just take a one of them old tin snuff cans and cut it about that long and just stick the lid back on it, then drive a nail all the way through it, both of them.
And just slide the nail back and forth.
You put it on your mouth.
Like a whistle.
Yeah, like a whistle. Sounds just like
we're going to have to get a video of Brother Daryl doing that.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, that's you can find a can now.
Well, that's true. I still got mine somewhere, but that's my snuff story.
And, yeah.
My granddaddy, Papa Fred, the one that lived over here at Luxford, he always chewed a cannonball. He always kept it in the bib of his overalls. Mm-hmm. And he'd always give it to me, and I'd get dizzy sometime. I don't think I ever got sick. Well, my mama found out about it, and she throwed a fit.
Was it her daddy?
No, it was her. It was my daddy's daddy.
Okay, so it's her father-in-law.
Yes. And she called him and chewed him out. Don't you ever give that boy that. So we went fishing again, so he cut him a piece off, and he just laid the knife in the pouch over there and said, your mama said that I can't give it to you, but if you want some of it, there it lays.
Oh, we're going to abide by the rules, but we might bend them a little bit.
Yeah, but anyway, that's just some of the things. But church things that happened in church, I could go, I mean, that's – y'all ain't got enough tape, you know. I remember the third time I ever preached, I was over at Old Philadelphia, and I didn't study, didn't prepare. And I said, man, I got this thing, man. It ain't nothing to this preaching. Yeah. I got over there. I didn't even know my name. If Brother Kenneth Reed hadn't announced me, I wouldn't have even told him my name. My tongue stuck in the top of my mouth. And I went straight out to Brother Early. He's going to tell him what kind of experience I had. And he laughed. That made it worse when he laughed at me. But he said, son, that would never happen again.
Yeah.
And it never has. I learned my lesson. But then he had a radio broadcast. He called me, said, you want to preach on? I told him, no, I've quit. I ain't preaching more. See, I'm through with it.
Laid it down.
So he called me the next night, said, you want to preach on the radio? No, I ain't preaching. This was going through the times. Mm-hmm. And finally, I consented and said that I would. Well, he come by and picked me up that Sunday morning, went up there to Oneonta. This was in the little broadcast building there at the radio station. And we pulled up there, and he had built me up all the way from Locker Fork up there, just built me up. We pulled up behind that thing. He said, boy, when you tell me you had that bad experience with the Lord? And I said, last Sunday. He said, man, you're a braver man than I am. Ain't no way I'd preach on no radio. And he just got out.
And left you to it.
Yes.
How'd you do?
I don't remember.
I blacked out.
I'm telling you, that's the way that Brother Johnny can confess to it. That's the way they brought us up back then.
They'd throw you to wolves.
Oh, yes. But I look back now and I appreciate every single one of them,
yeah.
How they done me.
Now, how old was you then? What you just described, about how old were you?
I was in my mid-20s.
Okay, you're a young fella.
Yeah, 22, 23. But where Brother Johnny always had the leg up on me, see, he was a deacon for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Well, I wouldn't. I just kind of had to learn on the fly.
Yeah.
But I've had some good times at church. Some of the most fondest memories that I've got has been around at church.
At church. And you said it earlier. We've had fun doing it. You don't got to go into Mully Grubs and go to church. A lot of folks all time in the Mully Grubs.
You want to tell everybody what the Mully Grubs is?
Y'all go through them sometimes.
I thought about some of those. He was talking about the older preacher. Brother Lon Britt was a real blessing in my life. Him and Brother J.L. McCombs.
Yes, they were.
Brother Turner, they were several. But I thought about Brother Lon Britt. We called him Laughing Lon because he laughed all the time. Mm-hmm. And I never seen that man ever discouraged. The only time I seen him even remotely discouraged was right before he passed away. And he wasn't discouraged then. He just told me, whenever I told him, I said, Brother Lon, I'm going to pray for you before I leave. He said, well, don't pray that I'll live. He said, just pray the Lord to come get me. Mm-hmm. He was about 92 at that time, I think. He was ready to go. But I thought about in church, he was the kind of preacher. If he was preaching and you got to a point to where you was fixing to quote something or say something, he'd quote it out. He'd know ahead of you, you know.
He didn't have you to the point.
He just knew
it.
He just knew it.
Yes. But I thought about Brother J.L. McCombs was preaching at Pinson Valley one time down there, and it was back in the 60s, whenever the early 60s. whenever the, you know, the mini skirts and stuff was coming in style. And Brother JL was talking about women ought to wear longer dresses. You know, he said, it's a shame to come in here on Sunday morning and have to look out there and see all them short dresses. And Brother Long was sitting there and he just burleted it out. He said, yeah, or get some dark glasses for the preacher to wear.
He said it in the service.
If you ever pause, you didn't know what Brother Long
was. Oh boy, you better keep on going. If you're in the market for a new house, I want to tell you about our latest sponsor, Vantage Plus. So they're general contractors. They specialize in new home construction, but also they do some dirt moving work. So clearing land, making roads. Y'all check them out. We'll make sure that we link the website and the phone number in the show notes.
Bro, Johnny, you ever had any special singers?
Any special what?
Singers. Didn't he have one, a little boy that sang
oh, yeah. It was my pastor. He had a little boy come up one Sunday and told me he wanted to sing a song. So pastor got up and said, this young man wants to sing a song. And so it was Brother Leck. And little boy got up and cut loose on that Pabst Blue Ribbon song that they sung on the TV. It was a commercial. He couldn't get him to shut up. He said he tried his best. He couldn't get. He said the more he tried, the louder that little fella got.
So he just carried it on through.
He couldn't do nothing to stop it. He said after that, I said, I ain't never going to let nobody sing until I find out what to go.
Well, that's a good idea.
So if a kid comes up and asks me to sing at church, first thing I ask him, what you going to sing?
What are you going to sing? I would have died. I would pay money to be a fly on the wall. Pabst Blue Ribbon, just cut loose.
Yep. Just cut loose.
A little jingly light.
Yeah.
I'll tell one on Brother Leck. The first summer revival I ever helped him was over at Valley Grove, and Brother Leck was the pastor. I'd studied and I'd prepared and I'd done everything I could. Got over that Sunday night and preached every one of them. So I had me one picked out for Monday night. Each night, you know, Monday morning, each night is day and night. So I had them all picked out how I was going to do it. Preached every one of them Sunday night. Brother Lex, son, what are you going to do now?
You preached several. You just got started. You just preached them all.
Yeah, I just preached all of them I'd been thinking about and studying on that first night.
Yeah, just let me preach them all.
Right? That's right.
How much time y'all got your attention. Yeah.
See, I had them picked out.
Oh, yeah,
night.
Yeah.
And I found out real quick, it ain't the way you do.
Oh, man. How many sermons you think you preached in that one?
Who knows? Brother Leck knows it. Boy, he knew what I'd done. Yeah. I mean, because of his experience, you know.
Yeah.
He said, now what are you going to do? Preach to every one of them you've been studying. Now what are you going to do?
Most of the revivals then were day and night.
Yeah.
You know, that was Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Monday, Tuesday, Monday night.
Yeah. Wednesday.
We still have some churches that still do that in the county here, but a lot of them quit doing it. But,
well, it's pretty difficult to do nowadays.
But they did that because the kids were out of school, and there was a lot of kids saved back in that time during the day service because mamas didn't work. A lot of them didn't work, and they'd bring the kids to church. And it was
that's the first I'd ever heard of that. I've never heard that there was a morning one.
Oh, yeah.
Morning, day and night.
Morning and night.
Brother Johnny, do you remember Frog?
That lady that used to come over to church?
Yeah. Do you remember when she was in our communion service?
Yeah.
So Frog was visiting. She was a character. I mean, all the way around character. And somehow or another, she visited on communion night, which we had communion that night. And we use wine in our communion service. Well, I don't guess Frog knew that. So we passed a little, you know, little cup. Everybody's going to participate. And Frog got hers, and she you know, we said read the verse and said, all right, you know, this is my blood and this is what it represents. And all right. So she took the cup and she said,
it was loud.
It was just loud. And she
wasn't ready for that.
Oh, I about fell out.
What'd she do after that?
She just looked at me and I looked at her and she said, I didn't expect that. I said, Frog, me, I should have warned you, I guess, you know.
She, and she said, pull back to Jesus, said, I know you saved the best for last. Yeah.
She called herself Frog because you know what Frog means? Fully relying on God.
Oh, okay.
That was her name. All she right. called herself Frog. Well, then we had foot washing. So it was we foot washing Baptist. And after the service, what'd she want, Brother Johnny? You remember what she wanted?
No, I don't remember, but
she wanted one of the foot washing pans. She said, I'd like to have one of these. And my mama was behind me or behind her looking at me. And she was going like this. My mama was. She can't have a foot washing pan. And Frog turned around and looked at her. What are you doing this for, Patty? What are you shaking your head for, Patty?
I want one of them pans.
I want a pan. And mama was like, here, Frog, you can have a pan, you know.
We'll get another one.
Yeah. So after we finally convinced her she didn't really want a foot washing pan, but she'd never been in a foot washing service, so it was all new to her.
She was a Baptist faith, but evidently they didn't.
Not a foot washing Baptist.
Where she went to church.
But it was so funny. I mean, she said, this is the first one I ever done. I want one of them pans.
Well, you know what's special about a frog?
What's that?
You know.
I don't know.
You ever seen one of them hop backwards?
I ain't ever
they
seen
them. They're always moving forward.
That, man.
Always forward. They never
go backwards.
Back up. They always moving forward.
Unlike a hog.
That's right.
The hog going to go backwards before he goes forward.
He get a hold hung in his mouth.
Reverse
too.
Comes before drive.
Speaking of hogs, we had revival. Well, Brother Darrell was helping us that week. And we came home and rested. They came to our house and rested.
Hog went mad.
And, Aaron comes running up the house. He said, Daddy, said that, come down here quick. Said the hog said it's got rabies. And I said, rabies? He said, yes, gone mad. Said it's got the hose pipe in its mouth and said it's slobbering and hollering. And I said, son, that hog ain't got no rabies.
Ain't got rabies.
He said, yes, it has. So anyway, I went down there. What had happened? I had one of them hoses with a the handle on it. They were metal. Used to be metal, the plastic.
How did you find the hog?
Well, it had a hose in its mouth.
Yeah, just like he said.
Just like he said. Yeah. What had happened, the hose was laying over the fence. They had left it laying over the fence. Mm-hmm. The boys had. And that hog got a hold of it, and it got it in its mouth. And when it went to back up, that thing hooked it like a hook in its jaw. It wasn't stuck in its jaw, but it was hung there to where he couldn't get it out. And like you said, a hog just keeps backing up and backing up. And that thing was shaking his head, and it was slobbering, and it was a hollering. And he come running up a hill. Dad, hog's mad. He's got rabies. He's got rabies. Come quick. And it wasn't nothing but hung in the
Up in the hose pipe.
It would have been hung if I hadn't left it laying over in the fence. But
unfortunately, he might have been watching Old Yeller before that, and just learned what rabies was or something.
Mm. Oh yeah, he had watched Old Yeller.
We went up to Boaz back up in there, and I can't remember the name of the church, but it is having a revival. And I've seen a lot of things in church. I've experienced and seen a lot of things, but I've seen a man pull his clothes off up on the stage right in the middle of church. And I know everybody looks at me that way, but I'm telling you, he did it. And I witnessed, I saw it. We was up there at revival, and they're having old-fashioned night. We didn't know it, but the church, the women was wearing the big, the big
dresses,
male dresses
and overalls.
He
went so
old fashioned.
He went back to Adam's time.
But he was up there, and I forgot who the evangelist was. I believe I remember the pastor. I'll think of his name in a minute. But he was leading the singing, this gentleman was. And he had on a pair of overalls, just Liberty overalls. And it was leading the singing. Well, on the second verse, he just stopped. He just unlatched the two galluses, and they just fell down. They went on through the second, got on down to the third verse. He just stepped out of them and laid them right there on the floor. And he had on a brown pair of pants and shirt under it. He said, I'm the same man with that or with this. He said, the clothes does not make who a man was. The preacher didn't have to preach. That was the message.
That was the message.
But when I tell people I seen a man pull his clothes off in church, he actually pulled his clothes off in church.
But he had on clothes under. Okay. Yeah. I was fixing to say, whoa.
And he laid them overalls over on the side, and he said, y'all looking at me funny, I'm still the same person with slacks and a shirt as I was with overalls. Mm-hmm. The person didn't change.
Yeah.
What he was trying to say, the clothes did not make
who the person
years
is.
Ago just mm-hmm. because they wore overalls didn't make them more spiritual. They right, had nothing right. to do with it.
No, that's true.
It's how that you conduct your life, how close you live. Yeah. We was going to revival. I know I got to quit, but
no, you're good.
One time, you know, Brother Early was having a revival. It was myself and his son, Brother Gear, and it was somebody else, and I don't remember who it was. And he was running late, and Brother Early was working down at the Pimco on the airplane, and we was driving up there. Brother Gears was driving. He said, "Man, you got to hurry, got to get there." And he's over there just thumbing through his Bible. He said, "Man, I just ain't got nothing." He said, "Anybody got anything?" And his son, Brother Gears, said, "Well, Daddy just preached on Jesus." He said, "What'd he do?" Now you having a blank mind, wouldn't he?
What'd he do?
And
he was being serious.
Yeah, what'd he do? I could tell you.
What's some of the funniest just occurrences in the church, whether revival or just on a Sunday morning, maybe something a kid did, or just some funny things that's happened while you was preaching or whatever?
Buying or selling a home should be an exciting and enjoyable time. One thing can position you for the best outcome, and that is experience. The team at White Real Estate has many years of experience in helping their clients maximize their sales and secure the properties and homes of their dreams. Give Darren and Rhiannon White, Caden White, or Ryan Love a call today and begin your journey on a pleasurable buying or selling experience.
There's a lady named Sister Lou that went to our church, and she got up one Sunday and wanted us to pray for her husband's niece. Said she had, or her family said her husband's niece had died. And she said, "I've never seen Coy," was her husband. She said, "I've never seen him so upset over something happening. Like, I've just never seen him that upset." And then she paused a minute. And she said, "Well," everybody was taking it in serious. She said, "Well, I guess I have to. That time I bought that living room suit and brought it home, didn't tell him I bought it." It was like Brother Darrell said a while ago. It was one of them times I just busted out. I couldn't help it. Because I was taking it in too. It was serious. And then all of a sudden she said that.
Well, there was this one time.
About the living room suit. I didn't tell him, but it made him real upset.
Always been things.
That's funny.
I hadn't thought much about funny things in church, but there's a lot of things happened over the years.
I don't know if you've been to church, you ain't had a whooping on the front steps.
I mean, have you even been to church?
I know I had one. The worst one I ever got was on a Wednesday night. And we had RAs, Royal Ambassadors, and then the Girls of Action, GAs, Girls in Action. But
we called them Green Apples.
Green Apples. We was having RAs, but it was a rough group of boys. You know how they are on Wednesday night. They'd do best they could with for 5 minutes, and then it was just get them outside. Play. Mm-hmm. Get them outside before they tear something up. Well, we was playing tag, and I've always been competitive, and I wanted somebody to try to tag me, you know, to get me out because I wanted to run from them. Well, right there along the sanctuary, hedge bushes. Not thinking about what's really going on. You know, the church is going on. And because right beside the hedge bushes is the sanctuary and then the stained glass windows. Well, I was standing right there between the hedge bush and the sanctuary screaming from the top of my lungs, "Na, na, na, boo, boo, stick your head in dinosaur
poo, poo,
poo, poo." I mean, just repetitive time and time again to try to get the person who was tagging to come try to chase me. Well, the next thing I knew, my head jerked to the side because, you know, the whole congregation in there's hearing me out there screaming mm-hmm. that. And mm-hmm. so here come, boy, mama. And I'll never forget that one. And I'll never forget, you got to pay attention to where you're at
when you're
yelling things you shouldn't be yelling. But, man, I'll never forget that one. She was so embarrassed. And I could, you know, being a dad now.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what she was sitting there going through that, because everybody in there knew who that was.
Knew exactly
who that son was.
Oh, boy. That was a good one. I'll never forget that.
That's that Bremerman boy.
That's him.
Well, I don't know how many things my boys did that I didn't really know about. I know I went and preached for Brother Jeff Logan one time, and he had a little boy named Nicholas. And Nicholas was a little bit older than them, but Nicholas told Jeff after church, says, don't invite him to come back and preach no more. So them boys kicked me back there. They just kept kicking me on the shin.
Are you serious?
I told him, I said, y'all probably hindered me from preaching in a lot of places. That's what y'all acting. You
know? But we can't invite them back.
Yeah, don't invite them back. But
and they weren't little boys. I mean, Brother Johnny's boys were good ones. I mean,
yeah, when they were seven, most 10 year old wasn't big as they was.
They had left tackle boys, you mm-hmm. know. They is
and good my ones. Daughter was right the opposite. They called her the angel. But I can tell her to sit down and not get up. She'd be there tomorrow, you know, if you didn't tell her to get up. She just got
all the call.
And they couldn't understand why I didn't spank her and why I didn't ground her. I said, what am I going to spank her and ground her for doing what I told her to? You know, that's the only thing.
Obedience.
I know Andrew, I think Andrew mentioned the other night when he was preaching somewhere that, you know, I'd tell him, like on Wednesday night, I said, if y'all behave good night, I'll stop by the store and get you a candy bar. He said, we didn't get many candy bars.
That wasn't enough. We couldn't overcome.
We went to help Brother Johnny one time, and we was going to go down there to Hardee's. It was a Hardee's there at Pinson.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Janet, myself, and my two girls, and Brother Johnny's three kids. It was Aaron or?
Andrew.
Andrew was up there looking at the board. He said, that woman said, what do you want? He said, give me one of them 10-piece chicken dinners. And Johnny said, boy, get over there.
He's been so used to us ordering that. That's what we ordered for the whole family. And she asked
him. That's what he wanted.
When she asked him what he wanted, that's what he told her.
One of them 10-piece chicken dinners. Well, speaking about that, I know dinner on the ground and different events for eating. Does that bring up any memories, any fun memories about eating other people's food or anything like that?
Well, potlucks, you know, you got to be careful with.
You got to know who's cooking
that
food.
You better know. Well, and that is a skill, I would say, you know, you just got to know, right? Yeah. Some folks, it's like
networking. I know how to network. If I'm going to a potluck, I start networking as soon as I get there.
What'd you make?
Sister so-and-so, what'd you bring today? What's that dish look like? Oh, that yellow one over there, huh? All right, I'm going to get one out of the yellow one.
You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Because there'll be four or five of the same.
Somebody, I ain't eating none of that.
No, yeah.
Preachers used to, when Brother Lake was there, when we first got back in church about 43 years ago, this past New Year's Eve. But anyway, when we had after church on Sunday, they had a list and they would put the preacher's name on it. And you take them home with you or either take them to eat, you know, every Sunday. And so you didn't know who you was going home with. And, you know, you might go somewhere, you know, you just really didn't want to eat or something, you know. But the Lord made a way. You know, he always made a way.
Yeah.
Way for folks.
The Lord made a way.
He made a way.
He was an old retired army man. He was like a colonel way up high in the army in the military. And he was a member of this church, and he just wanted everything to done. He tried to rule the church or run the church, military, you know.
Yeah.
And every time anybody come up with something, he just like a busybody, you know, just taking over. You need to do it this way. Well, some of the ladies talked to the men and said, listen, we got to do something here. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And so Rub they told him, and he, but anyway, that night they was having their business meeting, he said, it's been brought to our attention that we have somebody here in the church that's supposed to be in a busybody and getting in everybody's business, trying to tell them how to do it. This old man hit the floor. He said, I make a motion we withdraw fellowship from them. He said, well, buddy, you're who we talking about. I withdraw my motion.
On that note, I'm going to pull that motion off the table.
Well, I withdraw it.
He is the first one to speak up.
Yeah.
Wow.
I heard a tale one time. This is a tale. It was about a a man in church that was bad to tell lies. You know, he just plain old lie. And,
straight up.
And they said, we're going to have to break him from that. Said, I tell you what, so let's go down to his house and we'll tell him something unbelievable and let him know how it sounds when he tells those things. So they went down to his house and they walked up in his yard. They walked down a dirt road and walked up in his yard. And he's sitting on the porch. They said, Brother Joe, his name was Joe. I said, Brother Joe, said, you ain't going to guess what happened on the way down here. He said, what? He said, we was coming down the road and said a bear jumped out in the road down there and got fixing to get after us. And he said, there's a little Chihuahua dog running out of the woods. And said, that little Chihuahua dog jumped on that bear and said, it tore that bear all to pieces. Oh, Brother Joe said, yeah, yeah. They said, you believe that? He said, yeah, it was my dog.
Yeah, I believe that was my dog. That's pretty good. They gonna tell it. That's an old tale about the little boy saw the lion going down the road. He said he hollering. His daddy got on to him. He said, he kind of like that. He, you know, you're going to stop telling lies, you know. He said, next lie you tell, I'm going to make you go in your room and I'm going to give it to you and you're going to pray about it and we're going to work through this. He said he went in and came in hollering and said, there's a lion going down the road. The lion going, said the neighbor had, what had done, the neighbor had cut his old dog's hair.
Collie dog.
Cut it like a lion. They just shaved him off real good, but left a little tuft on his tail and a mane, you know. And said his daddy went out there and said, that ain't a lion, boy. You know better than that. That's a neighbor's collie dog. They just cut him. He said, go up here in the room and pray until you get these things right, and then we're going to go from there. So he said the boy went up there, and he stayed up there for a little while, and his daddy finally came up here and said, hey, now I'm going to talk to you now. Have you and the Lord worked this out? He said, yeah, Daddy, I did. He said, I prayed. I told God, you know, I thought that was a lion. And God said, it's all right, son. I thought it was a lion too. I thought it was a lion too.
You and me both.
So I ain't got to be in trouble, Daddy. Got it all worked out. That's pretty good.
Tell us about Brother Irie Tidwell. He'd went, been up to, it was Coleman, back up that way. Now, this was told by Brother Early, and I knew Brother Irie, and I believe he Brother Irie's a hard man. He could tell stuff and get by with it where we couldn't today. But this woman, he pulled his coat off and just, you know, pitched it over on that had a banister, and it just laid over there, one old sleeve hanging off of it. And then,
while he was preaching.
Yeah. So we got ready to leave, and this woman said, Brother Irie, I said, I was really enjoying the message this morning till you pulled your coat off. He said, I just run it for me. He said, well, ma'am, I could have pulled my pants off and had on more clothes I seen you wearing around this week. Yes.
Brother Irie, I mean, he was tough, but he told that.
I heard of an older preacher. I can't remember his name. He didn't drive. You know, he walked everywhere he went, preached and everything. And he preached revival, and they took up some money and gave it to him. And he told him, he said, now, ain't none of this money going toward no tobacco or nothing, because his wife smoked. Mm-hmm. But he didn't. He was really against smoking. And he said it. He was walking down the road and a guy picked him up, and they was going down the road, and the guy asked him, said, you want a cigarette? And he said, no, I don't want no cigarette. He said, the Lord wanted me to smoke. Said he made me a smokestack. The old guy just slammed his brakes on and said, get out. He said, well, this ain't where I'm going. He said, the Lord wanted you to ride. He'd have made you a wheel, won't you?
He'd have put some wheels on
him. That was actual truth. That actually happened.
No, I don't want to see.
Yeah, we talk about Brother J.L. McCombs. It's going to be my last. And then he was in a hurry trying to get up Jasper. It happened in a revival up there. And up 78, it's before I-22 and all of that. It's just up 78. And state troopers used to just work at it up there, like, I'm talking about like ants. Mm-hmm. And he was flying up through there, and a state trooper pulled him over up there, and he pulled off and the trooper got out and said, sir, what's your hurry? He said, well, I'm running late I'm a minister and I'm trying to hurry up and get up here to this revival and I'm running a little bit late and I'm sorry that I was running a little over the speed limit. He said, would you have on your seatbelt? He said, yeah, see there. He said, "How are you driving?" He said, "What do you mean?" But when the trooper stopped him, he didn't have a seatbelt on, but he throwed it on real quick, went through the steering wheel. That's true. That ain't a joke.
Whipped it around.
And stuck it in real quick. But, you know, it wasn't one of the kind, man. Yeah. He run it through the steering wheel, come back down and hooked it.
Yeah. Man. I wonder how many times that state trooper's told that story. A bunch.
I guarantee you.
Yeah, and I pulled this old feller over one time. He told me he was wearing his seatbelt.
Yep.
Well, how are you driving?
There ain't nothing worse
than a state trooper stopping you.
Y'all got anything else on your heart?
I love Jesus.
Amen.
Me too.
Well, it's been a lot of fun. Yep. We went around the world there, went to,
yeah, it kind of went around the world.
We started dipping snuff and went to revivals and ended up getting pulled over for a tag light. Well, we appreciate you being on the show. You taking this afternoon to come on here and tell some tales with us, and it was really enjoyable.
Appreciate you asking. It's a lot of good memories and what some of the things we talked about.
Y'all are going to talk after this, and you're going to think of 100 other things, but just know the door is always open. Y'all are welcome back anytime, and we'd love to have you. These two men have been great influences in my life, for sure. Brother Daryl preached in my ordination as a deacon, and of course, Brother Johnny's my pastor, so they can tell plenty on me, I'm sure, but we'll just save that for another time.
Save that for round two. Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it here at the Hey Down Bound Podcast. I'm Philip.
I'm Shane.
I'm Johnny.
Daryl.
We'll see you next week.